Saturday of the second week of Lent. The first reading is from the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verses 14 and following. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, that dwells apart in a woodland, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old, as in the days when you came from the land of Egypt. Show us wonderful signs. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency, and will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt? Who will cast into the depth of the sea all our sins? You will show faithfulness to Jacob and grace to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, the prophet Micah longs for the welfare of the people of Israel. And who is the shepherd? Well, the shepherd is God himself, who takes care of all of us. And then he makes the prophets his mouthpiece to encourage the shepherds that he has delegated on earth to minister to the people with great love. And Micah here speaks about the mercy and the love of God for his people. So let us now go to the gospel. It's Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and following. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But the father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out on the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked him what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed all your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, those of you who are in our community know how important this gospel is for us and how God has spoken to us through it. This Father is God, and Jesus is addressing the Pharisees who were complaining because Jesus is bringing in the sinners and reconciling them with the Father. You see, the Pharisees are the older brother. They are dutiful, they are in the house, but they do not have the heart of the Father. And when the brother comes back, the darkness of their heart comes out. Notice that at the beginning of the parable, we see that the father divided the property among the two sons. When that happens in a Jewish culture of that time, the older brother gets the lion's share. And yet, this older brother in the story says, "You never gave me anything." You see, when bitterness takes over in our soul against someone, we lose perspective, and we become so entrenched into our bitterness that we don't see the reality of what is going on. This older brother no longer appreciated that his father had given him everything, that everything in the house is his. He's just angry that his brother is returning. And so this is a teaching for us. Sometimes we are the younger brother who squander the things of God, who walk away from the church, walk away from the ways of God. But more often, perhaps, we are like the older brother, who do not have gratitude, who do not appreciate the Father. So neither of the two sons had the heart of the Father. Hopefully, through the Father's constant invitation and love, they both changed. But what we see is at the end, the brother who had left, the younger brother, is back in the house, and the older brother is out and refuses to come in, and so the father has to go and invite him to come in. We pray that this gospel reaches our hearts. So let me finish with a passage from Henry Nouwen, which is found also quoted in our Path to Union with God in the section of gratitude. The discipline of gratitude is the explicit effort to acknowledge that all I am and have is given to me as a gift of love, a gift to be celebrated with joy. Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and feelings are still steeped in hurt and resentment. It is amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of complaint. I can choose to be grateful when I am criticized, even when my heart still responds in bitterness. I can choose to speak about goodness and beauty, even when my inner eye still looks for someone to accuse or something to call ugly. I can choose to listen to the voices that forgive and to look at the faces that smile.